Just like to read three passages of scripture tonight from the Gospels. The first one is in John's Gospel, chapter 4, and they're all passages of scripture that everybody here will know. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 5. He, that is Jesus, comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain. It was about the sixth hour. A woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." And then verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and says to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. Now another well-known section in John's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 35. And it came to pass, when he came into the neighborhood of Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he heard the crowd passing, he inquired what this might be, and they told him, "Jesus the Nazarene was passing by." And he called out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were going before rebuked him that he might be silent. But he cried out so much the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be led to him. And when he drew nigh, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do to thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "See, thy faith has healed thee." And immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. My final scripture is John 20 and verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala comes in early morning to the tomb while it was still dark and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. She runs, therefore, and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple to whom Jesus was attached and says to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him." And then just a little farther on, verse 11, Mary stood at the tomb weeping without, as therefore she wept, she stooped down into the tomb, and beholds two angels sitting in white garments, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why dost thou weep?" She says to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Having said these things, she turned backward, and beholds Jesus standing there, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus says to her, "Woman, why dost thou weep? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing that it was the gardener, says to him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus says to her, "Mary." I hardly need to tell you, as I start to preach the gospel, that I want to speak about my Savior. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a Saviour who you know has done everything according to the will of God, and who has forgiven my sins and has made it possible for me to look forward to a day when I shall see him soon face to face. And as I stand before him, I shall know the bliss of every sin being completely washed away because I've had to do with Jesus as my own personal Saviour. Now, one of the things that always concerns me when I preach the gospel is that for most of us, we have this privilege week after week. And we come to the gospel and we listen to it. And sometimes we may enjoy it and sometimes not so much. But you know, The real reason why you come to the gospel is not because it's 6 o'clock on the Lord's Day evening, but it's because there's a Savior in the glory who's able and willing to save you from your sins. And I want to ask you tonight if you've had to do it. And that's why I've read from these three scriptures. Because they all deal with people who were just, they weren't expecting to have to do with him. In the first scripture that I read in John 4, here was a woman just going about her daily business. She was just filling her pitcher at the well. That's what she did each day, probably. Something happened that she wasn't expecting. The scripture in Luke 17. How many days had Bartimaeus been by the wayside begging? We don't know. I don't think scripture tells us. But I'm quite sure that he wasn't there begging because he heard that the Lord might pass by. No. There he was in the dusty streets outside Jericho. And suddenly there's a crowd. And suddenly he's having to do with the Savior of sinners. And Mary, she came to the tomb, and what was she expecting? To find a dead Christ. And she found a living one. And I want to occupy your hearts today with my Saviour who lives in the glory. And not only that, but he lives to save sinners like you and me. And what a wonderful privilege it is to speak about him, this wonderful Saviour. I want to start with John 4 because here was a woman who had no knowledge of Jesus at all. Now I know that we're gathered here this evening and every one of us, praise God, knows something about the Saviour. You've been to Gospels before. You've listened to what the preachers have had to say. But you know, this woman, she came, and completely unexpectedly, there was a man sitting, waiting at the well. The love of Jesus, you know. I understand that to have gone that pathway involved a considerable detour over what he intended. But suddenly this woman appears, and he's there, just waiting by the well. Just waiting for this woman so that he can bring a blessing. I want us all to think tonight that that same Saviour who waited for that woman at the well is waiting for you. He's waiting for you because he has the means to provide blessing for you. And what do I mean by blessing? I mean that your heart can be filled with joy and peace because Jesus has borne the burden of your sins upon the cross if you'll only just trust in him. And tonight you come to a room in Sherwood Park. This woman just came to the well. She came and she met the Savior. And my honest desire is that every one of us, whether you've trusted him before or whether you haven't, I say to all, you come to this room to have to do with Jesus, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. This woman had no idea how this conversation was going to go. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." What do you think of that? The one who is himself the Son of God, the one who came from glory's highest height to meet your need, and he says to this woman, "Give me to drink." It also tells us that he was weary with the way that he'd come. Reminds me, you know, of that hymn, "Jesus, linger still. 'Tis for you he waits. and he's waited for you long. Oh, I love to think of the patience of my Saviour. He's been so patient with me, you know. He really has. When I think of his love toward me, and when I think of the distance that he's been in order that I might be recovered to God, I thank him for it. I've had to do with a Saviour, and one day soon I shall see him face to face. I shall meet him, and I shall know that every sin has been completely washed away. Oh, you think of the wonder of those words in Isaiah. Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How amazing is that? How can that be done? That those dark stains of sin can be completely removed because of the precious work of Jesus. Oh, friends. He's appealing to your heart tonight. And the truth of it is, you know, that he knows all things that you've ever done. I think that's amazing, you know. If you knew all the things that I've done in my life that I shouldn't, you'd hardly love me for it. But Jesus, his love never changes. And I thank God that I have one whom I can say, yes, he knows all about me. But come and see him. Come and see him in the gospel tonight. See the man who lives in the glory. See the man who's exalted at God's right hand in heaven. That's the Saviour that I commend to you. And that's the Saviour that you need to meet tonight. You haven't just come to listen to a sermon. You've come to have to do with the Saviour of sinners. And he's able to meet your need right now, even though he knows you through and through. This woman, you know, at the end of the story, she says to the men of the city, come see a man who told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? I can confirm to you he was. I can confirm to you he is the blessed Son of God, ascended at God's right hand in glory tonight. And the message of the gospel goes out to you, not sitting in a well, but sitting in a chair in Sherwood Road Room. And the Saviour from the glory is stopping to have to do with you. I think it's wonderful, the gospel message of what Jesus has done. Now when we come to Luke's gospel, chapter 17, Jesus is on the way to Calvary. You know what Calvary is, don't you? The place where Jesus suffered for sinners like you and me. Because it was the only way that a righteous basis could be established, whereby salvation could be offered. I couldn't stand here tonight and preach the gospel to you if Jesus hadn't gone that way to Calvary. He went that way, you know, anticipating everything that was before him. You think of the cross and the agony on it. Friend, I want to say simply to you, he suffered there for me. And if he suffered there for me, I want to pass that on to you, that he suffered there for you as well. He shed his precious blood to establish a basis upon which God could forgive my sins. And God is satisfied with everything he's done. Wonderful, isn't it? Gospel message. Have you opened your heart yet to the Saviour? Have you realised your need? That the one who went into death has borne your sins in his body on the tree? The invitation goes out tonight to whosoever will. Wouldn't matter who was sitting in this room tonight. I could tell them that the gospel was for them. And the gospel is for you. The acceptance of it is all that God requires. In simple trust and obedience and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith in Christ. Friend, have you come in simple repentance? Have you come and had to do with him. Now look, let's go to our story. The well-known story. And here is a man at the wayside begging. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he called out, saying, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." It's a beautiful picture and a beautiful story. To think that the Lord, on his way to Calvary, knowing all that was before him and the sufferings that he would have to endure, yet he stopped for a beggar. He stopped for a man who probably knew nothing of him, except he obviously heard that Jesus could perform miracles and Jesus could heal. That's probably pretty much all he knew. But he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Is there anyone here tonight that will cry out to God for the mercy that's available, freely available, to you from the Savior? He's passing by. How many more times will the gospel be preached? How many more times will the glad tidings of salvation be offered to you? Jeremiah says somewhere in Lamentations, "O ye that pass by." Friends, tonight the Savior's love is towards you. And it says that he stopped. I love those words. Just to think that he should stop for a beggar, a man worthless in the eyes of God, in the eyes of man, and yet precious in the eyes of God. Did you know you're precious in the eyes of God? Did you know that he values your soul, that he loves you? Did you know that he gave his only begotten Son? And then in his pathway here, he stopped for a man that was worthless in this world, but valued in him. Friend, the Savior, well, I suggest, will stop for you tonight. He knows your need. He knows your state. He knows you have nothing to pay any more than this beggar. Nothing to pay. No need to pay. The price has been paid. Been paid in full. Been paid on the cross. When he took my sins upon himself and endured God's holy wrath in relation to them, so that they might be righteously dealt with before a righteous and holy God, and so that the way is made clear for me that when I have to do with God in the day to come, I can point to that atoning blood and say that, make my peace with God. How wonderful that every sin, those sins that perhaps sometimes haunt me from the past, and yet they're gone. And God can righteously come out in the fullness of his love towards the sinner, and he can say, "Their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." Every one gone. Think of that. If somebody forgives you a sin against them, they may forgive you and forgive you from their hearts, but they'll still remember. But God has promised that he'll do more than that. He'll justify you on the basis of what Christ has done, as though you had never sinned at all, and bring you into the joy of salvation that can be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says of this man, but immediately he saw. Oh, I would that your eyes might be open tonight to see the glory of salvation, to see the wonder of a Savior, to see what there is that is offered to you that can be yours just by trusting in him. And it says of him that he followed him in the way. Now that's a great privilege, and it's a responsibility too. But I want to include it in the gospel, because you know, when this meeting's over, we'll all just go home. But what has happened in the meantime? Are we going to commit ourselves to be following in the way? Are we going to represent our Saviour? You know, he's loved you so much in going that whole way to Calvary. He's died upon a cross and borne your sins. Wouldn't you love him for it? If somebody gave their life for you here upon earth, wouldn't you value it? Wouldn't you want to say thank you to them? Wouldn't you want to answer? Look, the Lord Jesus tonight, he's looking for an answer from every heart. Are you prepared to follow him? Are you prepared to commit your life to this Saviour who's died for you and given you hope and peace that's beyond things here? Come now. Come and have to do with the Saviour. Just let him into your heart. You know, there's a hymn, but it's not in our book, but it doesn't matter. It says, swing your heart's doors widely open. Let him enter while you may. And the while you may is important. Because it won't be long before the gospel will not be preached. And mercy's doors will be closed. You think of even coming to a hall like this, perhaps you come week after week, and suddenly there's no gospel being preached. Well, what's happening? Well, friend, the day of mercy has closed. Are you saved? Have you trusted in the Saviour and his precious work? Tonight you can do it. As I said a little while ago, this is not a sermon. It's an invitation to have to do with the Saviour and to know what it is for your sins to be washed away. I come to Mary of Magdala finally. She expected to find the Lord, but she didn't expect to find him, did she? That's the Saviour that I preach to you. That's what gives me hope and peace, that my Saviour lives. She came to the tomb, to the place where they laid him. But the stone was rolled away, not so that Jesus could come out, but so that the mighty power of the one who had been into death and was able to overthrow death and give peace and hope to everyone who trusts in him. Yes, that's what came home to our hearts. She said to those that were there, no, but to Peter first of all, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and know not where. We know not where they have laid him. You can understand, can't you, in the circumstances. The Lord Jesus placed into a tomb. And then, sorrowing, she goes back to the tomb. Where's the Lord? The tomb is empty. Friend, that's the most wonderful news I can give you in the gospel. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. He's overcome death and overcome the grave. The mighty power of divine love was greater than death. Satan's greatest ally, death. Jesus has broken its power and he's come forth triumphant. And I can tell you tonight that my Saviour is risen from the dead. And more than that, he's ascended, and he's at God's right hand in heaven. And tonight, the invitation is open to you. So your acceptance. That's not an offer, it's a commandment. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Will you come tonight and have to do with this Saviour? Will you trust him? Will you find your heart satisfied to know that he's risen? Do you want to know the joy that your Saviour is ascended at God's right hand in heaven? There were those who actually witnessed his ascension. It's no myth. Many saw him in those 40 days when he was here upon earth between his resurrection and his ascension. But many saw him actually ascend. Wonder of it, you know. And the message that was given to them was that he's coming again in like that. When will he come for you? Will you be amongst those that are taken to be forever with the Lord? Will you have the joy of seeing him face to face without any sense of guilt or any sense of your sins at all? Will you stand before God in the day to come and know what it is to be completely justified through the precious work of Jesus? When there is no other way. But tonight it's open to you. Come to the Saviour. Come to him personally and know what it is to have that personal link with him that will last forever. Well, may God bless the Lord.
Amen.